tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind, please.
You bet. I'm a fourth-generation Arkansan. I was born in central Arkansas almost 40 years ago. Grew up and went to public school up in northwest Arkansas. Married a local physician here in Little Rock. We have one son, and we own and operate a medical practice. And for the last 5 years, I've been working in public education, mostly in the Delta and southern Arkansas.
Tell us about why did you decide that you wanted to run for governor?
Right. Arkansas has just been an incredible land of opportunity for me. It's provided me with enormous advantages. It allowed me to learn, to make a difference in multiple fields. And it's also convinced me that this is a place of extraordinary opportunity that is really poised to do incredible things in the 21st century if we act boldly. I think that by the time that my son is an adult, we can have one of the most dynamic economies in the United States. I think we can have an exemplary education system. But I think we need to set higher and bolder goals, focus in on them, and really, work to achieve great things in those areas. I think that, you know, it's easy to overly celebrate small and marginal improvements, and I think those are great. But we're living in one of the most dynamic and rapid periods of change in history. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that. And I think that we need goals and strategies that are commensurate with that.
So what would be your strategy to be able to try to win a state that has been that is red and has been red for the past election cycles?
Yeah. I mean, I think first and foremost, this campaign is going to have to do at least as much listening as it does talking. I'm passionate. I've got a lot of experience and a lot of ideas, but I have to sit down with voters all across this state and earn their trust. I have to hear from them what is most important to them at this moment in time, whether it's health care, whether it's jobs, whether it's education, or some combination or some set of different issues altogether. And that's what this campaign is going to be built around. That's going to be my central strategy, is really going and just sitting down and talking to and connecting with as many voters as possible.
What would you say are some of the key challenges that the state faces that you think that that you would be able to kind of solve and kind of bring to the table that our current governor is not able to do?
Yeah, I would start, with education. I think that the strategies that the governor has pushed, such as computer science, I think are great. But I think we actually need a bigger and more fundamental strategy to really build the education system for the future. You know, right now we need an education system that can prepare students for jobs that don't even exist yet. That is an enormous challenge, to say the least. I think to get at that, we have to focus on making Arkansas one of the most attractive states to be a teacher in the United States. We need to make sure that they have the training and the resources that we need, and we need to make sure that we get out of their way once they're in place. If we can do that, if we can have an excellent, well-supported teacher in every classroom, we will build an excellent education system. If we do not do that, then every other strategy will produce just minimal results at best.
What about health care, especially how the governor has been able to keep insurance for those who are uninsured in Arkansas? Do you think that there are some changes that need to be made there, or what do you think about health care?
Yeah, I'm glad that we've been able to hold the line and maintain the progress that we made on access. I think we need to not take that for granted. We need to make sure that it continues, especially as Washington continues to, churn out and consider different policies. I think as long as we are able to maintain the gains we made on access, the core issue right now in healthcare is cost. Premiums have been going up for years. They are poised to go up dramatically more next year. And for a middle-class family, the costs are just getting out of control. People are starting to have to spend a massive share of their paycheck on their insurance premiums, and that's even if they're healthy. We've got to do something about that problem.
And how would you address something like that, especially as some would argue that that comes from a bill and a plan that was a Democratic plan pushed through by President Obama?
Yeah. So I think the ACA and the way that we've adapted to it as a state has been great at promoting access. But I think we haven't even really had a conversation as a state or as a country about the dynamics that are pushing cost, right? I mentioned earlier, my intention to go around the state talking to voters directly. I want to get in you know, a hospital in every county, every town that I can make it to, and hear from them what they think that we should do to lower costs. Because part of the problem with policies from Washington, I think, and the way that they played out at a state level, is they haven't really understood. They've had good intentions, you know, many times, but they haven't really understood the implications on a hospital and on individual doctors.
Jared Henderson joins us here on KASU, and he is the Democratic challenger. He'll be the Democratic challenger to Governor Asa Hutchinson. As you know, Jared, this part of the state, or actually all of the state of Arkansas, is very unique. You have, of course, Central Arkansas being, you know, with Little Rock, and you have a growing area there. You have Northwest Arkansas, as beautiful as it is, and it continues to grow. Now you're even seeing Northeast Arkansas, where you're seeing growth around Jonesboro and those areas. But you still see parts of Arkansas that are very much still in the Delta, very much poor along a lot of the Mississippi River. And then also there's kind of that influx away from parts of South Arkansas moving up towards the central and northwestern and northeastern parts of the state. How do you plan to address some of those issues by way of trying to help those areas that are still in the poverty-stricken parts of the state? What do you think needs to be done about that, please?
It's such a great and important question. And, you know, and I've spent most of my time the last 5 years working in many of the communities and the regions that you mentioned. And so I'm, you know, I know a lot of people in those communities, and I'm very passionate about thinking about how to best support their future. You know, I'd say, you know, three quick things that that I believe can really be uniquely helpful to our rural communities. So one, you know, the ideas that I've talked about, making sure that we have an excellent, well-supported teacher in every classroom. There is nowhere that we need to focus on that more than in our highest need schools and in our rural communities. That is where you're seeing the greatest struggle achieving that today. I think, two, I think that small business development in rural communities is a huge missed opportunity. Just as we have rolled out, you know, progress in computer science to all of our, or to most of our schools, I think we could make similar progress around small business development and entrepreneurialism. There are people in all of our rural communities right now that have the work ethic and the passion and the inspiration to start a small business on Main Street. What they often lack is the training, the capital, and the relationships to make those dreams a reality. Let's do something about that in high school and for young adults. Third, I think we need to have a real conversation as a state about our childhood poverty rates, and in particular, you know, our nation-leading teen pregnancy rates. I think if we can do that, if we can start to have a conversation about those issues and figure out ways to address them that are consistent with local values, I think in the future we can have prosperity across the state, including areas that are struggling to have it right now.
Jared Henderson joining us here on KASU. Jared, I know we'll be talking a lot more as we go, you know, closer to. But it sounds like you're pretty excited about this upcoming election year and election. You know, with that, real quick, if you were to be able to go into office, what would be your priorities that you would set for the first 100 days in office if you were to win the governorship, please?
Yeah, I would figure out the first thing that we need to do is, one, how can we make dramatic, rapid progress on making teaching a sustainable, respected, and attractive profession? That is the single topic that would be the biggest focus of my administration, certainly the first 100 days. I would also like to start a conversation with our rural communities about this initiative to promote small business development. And then third, I would also, for each region of the state, like to talk about childhood poverty and solutions to address that. Those are the three things that I'm most passionate about right now. In addition, I would say, to convening, you know, a group of experts and community members on what we can do about health care costs. Those are the four topics that are top of my mind.
All right. And of course, working here at Arkansas State, you know, you deal with, you were talking about education and teaching and that, you know, being a huge part of this. When you're talking about education models, by way of funding models for higher education and also for public schools and all that, how do you think those need to be addressed? Do you think they're being addressed adequately, especially the higher education funding models? Or do you think that some of these funding models for education need to change? What do you think about that?
In higher ed, I want to wait and see a little bit. You know, we just adopted a new set of rules people are just going to be experiencing for the first time and are in the middle of experiencing for the first time right now. And I have talked to a few leaders in higher ed that are trying to understand the implications of what that's going to mean for their life. I think over the course of this campaign, and certainly by the time the next governor takes office, we'll actually have some real experience to inform the intentions of the current law. So I want to wait and see, but I'm keeping a close eye on it.